Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. Once again, I want to say thank you to you for taking time out of your busy life to join me this morning on the broadcast. It is Monday, January 13th, 2020, and in the new year here, the first real signs of protests have returned to the streets of Iran. There is chaos, there is outrage, there is violence, there is bloodshed, as Iranians are yelling and shouting death to the dictator, and they're standing in solidarity with the Iranians that were killed in the Ukrainian plane crash, which was last Tuesday. Since the Iranian regime has admitted that they, quote, unintentionally shot down this airplane that had lots of Iranian-Canadian passengers, the Iranians have taken to the streets and have screamed, have yelled, have protested against this incredible atrocity committed by the Iranian regime. Just think about it. There was 1,500 protesters killed, innocent protesters, peaceful protesters, killed in this last round of protests that started in November with the gas price hikes. And then Soleimani was killed by President Trump in an assassination more than a week ago. And then another 100 Iranians killed in this Ukrainian flight 752 that left Tehran on Wednesday morning. It was shot down, they say, unintentionally by the regime. But the Iranians are tired. They're frustrated. And already, the protesters are being shot and killed. More than 8 have been killed since this protest began just a couple of days ago. President Trump has wasted no time in standing in solidarity with the Iranian people. In fact, he tweeted something in Persian on Twitter that just went completely viral, over 400,000 likes on this. This is what President Trump said just a couple of days ago to the Iranian people. To the brave, long-suffering people of Iran, I've stood with you since the beginning of my presidency, and my administration will continue to stand with you. We are following your protests closely and are inspired by your courage. I cannot tell you the reaction of the Iranian people. Just absolutely, they are so connected to what President Trump did, because in our new year, he killed one of the most ravaged terrorists in the Middle East, one of the top military commanders, of course, of Quds, and that was Soleimani. And Donald Trump has refused to do anything but concentrate and focus on the Iranian protesters. Now, just yesterday, the American flag and the Israeli flag were painted on a sidewalk. And the Iranian people saw this and they refused to step on the flag. They have shouted in this protest, "You are the real enemy. America is our ally." And this, of course, goes counter to everything the regime wants to do. They continually trying to get the Iranian people to yell and scream death to America. But this young group of Iranians who are so in solidarity with the victims on that Ukrainian plane and so in connection and solidarity with our president have refused to step on this flag. Donald Trump continues to barrage Twitter in support of the Iranian people. He has also tweeted, "The government of Iran must allow human rights groups to monitor and report facts from the ground on the ongoing protests by the Iranian people. There cannot be another massacre of peaceful protesters, nor an internet shutdown. The world is watching." This is amazing. Donald Trump tweeted that on the 11th of January. It was 10:11 p.m. our time. One last tweet. This one just is so incredible. To show the Iranian people that although Jimmy Carter failed them, and although President Obama failed them, Trump is saying, "I will not fail you." This is what he said in his latest tweet. "To the leaders of Iran, do not kill your protesters. Thousands have already been killed or imprisoned by you, and the world is watching. More importantly, the USA is watching. Turn your internet back on and let reporters roam free. Stop killing the great Iranian people." It is incredible. This president refuses to back down, but to stand with the Iranian people. It was just a few days ago that the Iranian regime, after lying, after trying to bulldoze and cover up the evidence, after refusing to give the black box to Boeing or Canada, finally, under all of the pressure, admitted to shooting down this plane. I want you to hear right now this special report from CBS.
Breaking now overnight, an admission from the Iranian government. After days of denials and under mounting international pressure, the country now says its armed forces unintentionally shot down a Ukrainian jetliner this week, killing everyone on that flight. At a briefing this morning, the head of Iran's air defenses said Iran's military was on high alert due to Iran's confrontation with the United States and mistook the plane for a hostile target. Holly Williams is in Baghdad this morning. Holly, good morning.
Good morning. Iran's president, Hassan Rouhani, finally admitted this morning, local time, that his country was responsible for downing the plane.
CBS News found scavengers at what is believed to be the crash site yesterday, picking over what's left of this disaster. 2 days after the commercial jet was downed by Iranian missiles and the site cleaned up by Iran's investigators. Iran's Foreign Minister Javad Zarif expressed profound regrets, apologies and condolences, but also seemed to lay part of the blame on the United States, saying the human error came at a time of crisis caused by U.S. adventurism. Iran's military says the plane was mistaken for a hostile target. The missile strikes targeting U.S. forces here in Iraq were a revenge attack after President Trump's decision to assassinate one of Iran's top generals, Qasem Soleimani. He was killed by a drone strike in Baghdad last week. U.S. satellites detected two surface-to-air missiles hitting the Boeing 737 just after takeoff, bringing down Ukrainian Airlines Flight 752. This video is believed to show the plane exploding. The wreckage has been moved to Tehran's airport, where Ukrainian investigators have begun to examine them. Iran says it will share the contents of the black boxes. Iran has pleaded guilty, said Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky in a statement, but also demanded that those responsible be brought to justice, payment of compensation, and apologies through diplomatic channels. Hamed Esmailian lost his young daughter and wife, Parisa, who posted this selfie just before takeoff.
We had a very, very good life. And, you know, I appreciate that, but I think it was not right. I think it was not fair what happened.
The terrible irony is that Iran's missiles caused no casualties here in Iraq. There's even been speculation that Iran deliberately missed American forces in order to prevent a further escalation with the U.S. Dana.
All right, Holly, thank you.
As I look at the photos through the interviews of the families of the victims of Ukraine Flight 752, I'm just heartbroken. There is much grief and mourning in Canada, many memorials, many pictures with flowers laid in front of them, shock, outrage, every range of emotion you can think of. I want to take the next 3 minutes for this special report and let you hear about these victims, to hear about them, and to think about them, and please, as you listen, pray for them. They're going through the greatest tragedy of their life.
Those on board included academics returning from holidays, newlyweds coming back from their wedding, and many, many students. They came from Iran, Canada, Ukraine, Sweden, Afghanistan, Germany, and England. 138 of them were supposed to be on a connecting flight to Toronto. It landed this afternoon without those people. All of them died in the crash. Mike Drolet on what we know about the Canadian lives lost.
From the debris fields strewn across the Iranian landscape, it was obvious there were no survivors. In the Toronto suburb of Ajax, Omid Arsalani certainly knew his sister, Evan Arsalani, niece Kurdia, and brother-in-law, Hiva Molani, had died, but he couldn't accept it.
This morning, I tried calling her phone, and the phone was just ringing, but... I was hoping she picks up, and she says, yeah, I'm here. Not the case.
It was a night when entire families were lost, leaving friends and relatives struggling to understand how. Happy families like the Sadekis from Winnipeg or the Hamidis from Vancouver, their infectious smiles now gone.
It made me more sad. Yeah, this is shocking.
Shocked doesn't seem strong enough to describe how the Iranian community in Edmonton is feeling. 30 of the victims, including gynecologist Dr. Shakoufeh Chupanajad and her daughters Saba and Sarah, hailed from Alberta's capital.
Persian community or Iranian community is a very close community, so everyone knows each other. They are my family. They are every Persian's family.
Arash Purzarabi and Pune Gurji had barely begun theirs together.
They were basically the kindest souls that I knew.
They married in Iran, as did Siavash Ghafouri Azar and Sarah Mamani from Montreal.
Difficult, very difficult and devastating.
Collectively, the brain power lost is enormous. So many of the victims were PhD students and doctors, like Dalhousie dental professor Cherie Faghihi.
She was very lovely, very educated, quiet, humble. She would very care about people.
They all cared about someone. Motaba Abashnazad lost his mother a year ago. The University of Toronto PhD student was in Tehran to spend time with his brother. His last words to the world came via a tweet joking, "I predicted there would be war before my flight home." Mike Drolet, Global News, Toronto.
Your heart just breaks when you hear the stories of these young people just beginning life. A couple married in Tehran, professionals, losing his wife, who was also a dental professional, and his daughter. A man picking up his phone, hoping that his wife, his loved one, would answer. She didn't. What do you say to people who are hurting, that are crushed, that are grief-stricken? When I hear about this torment and this pain and this agony, I'm immediately reminded of the beautiful promise in Psalms chapter 35, verse 8, where God says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in the spirit. Oftentimes, when these tragedies occur, the hue and the cry and the pain and the outrage asks the question, where was God in all of this? And that is a normal when people are struggling to hold on to their faith, to hold on to their hope. As I was thinking about this horrible tragedy, I was reminded in the Bible that one day in the future, an incredible promise of God that will make sense out of all of this suffering. Because our God is faithful to recreate and to bring everything out of the ashes of suffering, to bring beauty out of the ashes of our suffering, and to make everything new. And I was thinking, as I was preparing for this program, the thing that victims need at this time is our love and our compassion, but they need, most importantly, hope, clinging on, holding on to the promises of God. This world, since our parents sinned in Eden, this world has been filled with chaos, suffering. And we live in between Eden and paradise restored. And yet we know, as Christians, that one day soon, God is going to break into human history. He's going to do something incredible. He is going to recreate this universe. I want you to hear from Revelation chapter 21, the promise of God for us who are hurting, who are broken and suffering. The Apostle John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And then he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.' And he also said, 'It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give from the springs of the water of all. All who are victorious will inherit these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children.'" God promises in the midst of our sorrow and pain that one day he will personally wipe away the tears from our eyes. To the eyes that are blood red and tear soaked, to the eyes when you look of them that they are filled with despair, they are broken over sorrow, he said, "I'm going to wipe away every tear from their eyes." In other words, he's going to take away the pain. He is going to make everything new. He is going to lift us from the sorrow and the grief. He promises on that day there will be no more death, or sorrow or crying or pain. For all of us who have suffered and felt the weight of despair, for all of us who have been broken by suffering and pain, God says, in this life you will have this sorrow, but in the life to come you will not ever be plagued with crying, pain, sorrow, and death. We live in a world that is broken. When sin and death entered the world in the Garden of Eden, paradise was lost. But God made a promise even then that one day he will make everything new. And in that broken environment in Eden, when our first parents sinned and brought death and despair into paradise, God did not leave us to our own destruction. He showed mercy, and he promised to send a redeemer who would take away all of our sin, and he would pay for all of our guilt. And that's what Jesus did. And when I think of the sorrow and pain of these Iranian people, I am reminded that God understands their pain, because God took on human flesh and he absorbed our guilt and sin at the cross. He felt excruciating pain, the pain of the horrible torture of crucifixion. So God understands pain and sorrow. He understands betrayal. He understands rejection, because he entered the human race more than 2,000 years ago and took on human flesh and identified with you and me. So God understands that depth of suffering and pain. And he says, I'm going to do something for you. Hold on to my promise, because one day I'm going to make it all new for you. I'm going to wipe the tears from your eyes. I'm going to make sure there's no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. And he says to John, who's receiving this revelation, write it down, for what I tell you is trustworthy. It's true. This is not just some pep talk to get you through the agony and the sorrow. This is a promise you can take to the bank. This is a promise that is absolutely guaranteed. It's true. He says, I tell you what I'm saying. My promise is trustworthy. It's true. It is not some myth. It is not some fable. It is not something just to get you through the pain. What I'm telling you is true. In Revelation chapter 22, another beautiful part of this vision is revealed. Then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, with a fresh crop every month. These leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. No longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. His name will be on our foreheads. Do you know Jesus as Lord? This promise is for the family of God. It's for those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus, had trusted him as Lord and Savior. If you have never done that, it is so important for you to cry out to him right now. The Muslim world is being awakened by visions and dreams of Jesus. The underground church in Iran is the largest growing church in the world, because Iranians have found their hope and their freedom in a person. His name is Jesus. They have risked everything to follow him, even death and imprisonment and torture, because they have found a Savior that loves them unconditionally, that frees them from their guilt and their sin, and who promises them this new future. If you have never called upon his name, if you have never come to him in faith, cry out to Jesus now. Jesus will come into your heart, and he will give you a new heart and a new spirit. He will wash away all your guilt and your sin. He will take away your pain and your sorrow. He will give you himself. Jesus will satisfy the needs of your heart and mind. He is a loving Savior. This is a message of hope for the families of the victims of Flight 752. Right now, the pain is unbearable, and you can't see clearly. You can't think. But there is a God of mercy who is comforting you now, who is putting his arms of love around you now, and bringing hope and healing to your pain. And in the midst of your tragedy, he loves you, he cares for you, he will comfort you, and he will heal you. And that is what Jesus does. You see, because Jesus understands your pain. He understands the curse of death, and he took that curse upon himself in our place. He bore our sin and our judgment to give us a love relationship with God. Iranians are so tired of an evil, corrupt government and a false religious system, but when they come to Christ, they don't find religion. They find relationship. That's what you need this morning. Not religion. You need relationship. And so my heartfelt prayers and condolences this morning goes out to the Iranian people. My prayer and support is with the protesters who are telling the government, they're telling the supreme leader, we want you to resign. You're a liar. You've destroyed us. They're tired of the lies. But this morning there is a God of mercy and truth that has come to you where you're at to give you hope and healing. My prayers are with the protesters and the families of the victims that perished in this plane crash. I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning on The Cross in the Desert. Please go to my Facebook page and please see all of the videos of what's happening right now in Iran and read the stories of the victims. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on The Cross in the Desert. Have a great week.